Welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. On today's program, we revisit a conversation we had this summer with John Ockles about illegal dumping. Ockles is the director of the Texas Illegal Dumping Resource Center based in Sherman, and will tell us just how widespread illegal dumping has become here in our state, how to understand the law, and what his company does to assist local law enforcement. And speaking of widespread, you may have noticed that the crickets are back. We'll examine the sheer volume of the insect during our Friday feature. All that coming up, but first we run down the week's headlines for you next. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
This is Sherry Gardner. Public radio listeners are heavy users of bank services, home mortgages, and financial management planning. Are these listeners your customers? They can be. Become a KETR program underwriter. For more information, call 903-513-9684.
In a world where you're constantly bombarded by information, navigating the news every morning can be daunting. But you can count on Morning Edition, NPR's daily morning program. It's like a GPS for your brain, guiding you through the twists and turns of what's happening in the world. Feeling lost? Get found. Set your coordinates for Morning Edition from NPR News. Weekdays at 5 a.m. on listener-supported 88.9 KETR.
And welcome back to The Lead here on your station. It's now time to check out the headlines from this week. Commerce police are investigating the death of an 18-month-old female child found deceased at a residence on September 21st. Emergency crews responded to a 911 call of a child not breathing in the 1300 block of Chestnut Street. Autopsy results are pending. Lamar County authorities have identified the victim of a Sunday evening shooting that was reportedly the result of an altercation between a man and his stepson. Jerry Lee Griffith was shot several times by the 22-year-old after Griffith allegedly tried to forcibly enter the home of his estranged wife. A third memorial service is Sunday at Ridgecrest Baptist Church in Commerce for Sumon Kukunor, the A&M Commerce student killed last Saturday in a two-vehicle wreck. One of the three students injured in the wreck is out of the hospital. The status of the two remaining students was unknown as of Friday. State troopers are reporting the death of a Quinlan man after the truck he was driving allegedly left the roadway and hit a tree. 83-year-old William Cecil Flowers was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash, which occurred earlier this week along FM 429 north of Terrell. A Terrell man is alleged to have stolen a pickup in Greenville last Saturday and then tried to run over two men that night, but Ricky Dwayne Miles was shot multiple times at a residence along County Road 2323 and is now in critical condition. That was the last report we had. He's expected to be arrested after his release from the hospital. 19-year-old Chase Garrett Hudson will be charged with evading arrest upon his release from the hospital. He was listed in critical condition at last report after rolling his vehicle while trying to run from police on Sunday evening in Sulphur Springs. The 2007 case of a Wolf City oil field fraud scheme has come to a close after the fifth and final defendant pleaded guilty this week. Carl Tinsley Ratner will serve 10 years in prison for his role in a scam that allegedly offered for sale interest in a local company to 10 individuals. An August fire that burned over 500 acres and caused thousands in damage has led to the arrest of Kenneth Shadid. The Lamar County man was reportedly burning trash, a violation of the burn ban, in an unattended barrel near Pattonville when it got out of control. He's charged with criminal mischief. Devin Eugene Royal has pleaded not guilty to the July 2nd shooting death of Greenville resident Javon Newman. Royal, along with Antonio Durance Fletcher, both of Greenville, were arrested 2 days later on the charge in Dallas. Fletcher is set to be arraigned Monday. A suspect in a widespread identity theft scheme targeting individuals across Hunt County is ordered to 6 years behind bars. Linda Carroll Hill of Cattle Mills has also agreed to testify against more than a dozen remaining defendants for passing forged checks at local businesses. Both Fannin and Hopkins County commissioners have agreed to extend bans on outdoor burning for another 90 days. Currently, 250 of Texas's 254 counties are under a ban on outdoor burning. 100 schools and counting have now joined the soon-to-be-filed lawsuit by the Equity Center, which will challenge the state's current school finance system. Local districts already involved include Commerce, Bonham, Greenville, and Paris. A complete list of plaintiff districts will be released next week. Longtime Hopkins County Deputy Bobby Neal has announced he'll seek the Democratic nomination for Precinct 2 Constable. Incumbent Larry Argenbright has announced he's retiring and will not seek another term. Sulphur Bluff resident and school board member Billy Emerson has announced that he'll run for Hopkins County Commissioner for Precinct 3. The position is currently held by Don Patterson, who is retiring. A search is underway for a new police chief in the Lamar County town of Reno. Joey McCarthy stepped down from the post on September 14th. 9-year veteran officer Jeff Sugg will serve as interim police chief. And Sulphur Springs city officials say they have ample water for now, but if lake levels at Cooper Lake and Lake Sulphur Springs continue to struggle this fall and winter, it could pose a problem next year. The two lakes are 10 and 6 feet below normal, respectively. And that's a check of some of the news-making headlines this week. You can visit our website for more information on each one of these stories at ketr.org. Coming up next, I speak with John Ockles, the director of the Texas Illegal Dumping Resource Center. That's next. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
I'm working two jobs, and my husband works too. My kids go to school with your kids. I'm one out of every six Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. I believe in this country, but it's hard to believe so many Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding families. Visit feedingamerica.org and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Lead here on your station, 88.9 KETR. We've seemed to have had a lot of cases of illegal dumping or alleged illegal dumping here in our region lately, and we thought it'd be a good time to bring back a local expert to give us some insight on the topic. You may recall a June edition of The Lead when I spoke with John Ockles, the director of the Texas Illegal Dumping Resource Center based in Sherman. Let's revisit that interview now as John informs us of why this crime is committed in the first place, how bad the problem actually is, and what steps are being taken to prevent the issue.
Well, can you first quantify how big the illegal dumping problem is in Texas?
Well, you know, that's one of the difficult questions, and I appreciate you starting with the hardest one first. There are actually no statistics kept at a statewide level as to how much dumping there really is. So many times the criminal offenses can go through different courts, and the data is simply not gathered. Now, down to the county level, it's possible to pull a lot of information together and say. But it looks like, from our experience around Texas, when the economy gets bad, dumping increases. When the economy gets good, there are more people buying things and dumping increases. So
okay.
It looks like anywhere there are people, there's dumping.
Okay. Well, that sounds, in those situations, maybe like people just aren't obeying the laws. But is a lot of it just negligence? People aren't maybe familiar with the laws?
I think a lot of it at this point is still negligence. Although we've been training people from the time they're in kindergarten to take care of the water and the land resources in Texas, there's still an awful lot of people that just literally have not got the word yet.
Provide some examples for us of illegal dumping. I know there's some generic and probably more often cases that you see, but maybe there's some interesting cases out there that you've come across. I know this really illegal dumping can range from, well, something that maybe doesn't come to mind to a lot of people. So just give us some examples of what illegal dumping could constitute as.
I will. The law is very interesting in that there's one primary law used that covers everything from a Dixie cup to somebody tearing down a house and burying it out back. Mm. And everything in between. And that law sets the penalties based on the weight or volume of what gets thrown away. So if you throw a bag of household trash out in the ditch somewhere, you may be in front of the justice of the Peace Corps with a Class C misdemeanor charge. If you tear down a house or you do commercial dumping, say somebody has a demolition business in Dallas County and they haul out to Hunt County to dump and get caught, those charges can be felony charges. But it's just incredible the way this law is used by local governments. For example, you might have a guy that's hauling production water from a gas well, and he knows he's under a permit to take that water to an injection well, but maybe he's being paid by the load, and it's a long way over there, so he just decides to dump it in the creek somewhere. Well, that's illegal dumping, just like throwing a bag of trash out is, but the penalties are an awful lot higher.
Okay. Some cases sound pretty obvious that they would be breaking the law, but some, maybe people don't realize they're breaking the law. Does that have to do with some of the vagueness in that, the way the law is stated?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I guess I've been doing this too long. It's getting to the point where I'm really wondering when people say they didn't know. The law is pretty simple. You'd have to put your waste in an approved site. It's either a landfill or a recycling center or your trash can out back where City of Commerce or the Waste Collection Service comes and takes it away. So the basic law is you have to put any kind of waste in a government-approved site, like a landfill. If you don't do that, if you just throw it out back or throw it on somebody else's property, that's the violation. So I think the violation is pretty simple. Sometimes people think they can dump on their own property, and generally that is not true. These are just criminal violations. You can't do any kind of crime on your own property. Can't shoot somebody at your house and say, well, he's on my property, unless he's there at night stealing something, I guess. Mm. But if you have a situation where you have waste and you need to get rid of it somewhere, you need to dispose of it properly, because the law is pretty clear. If you don't dispose of it properly, you're subject to criminal charges.
Now, tell us about some of those charges. You mentioned Class C misdemeanor. How far does it go? I mean, how bad can it get?
Well, it can go up that particular law, which is called Health and Safety, Chapter 365. Don't want to get technical, but that's one of your listeners wants to go read up on the law. Just go online and read Health and Safety Code, Chapter 365. That's a primary law that's used to deal with illegal dumping. But let's say a guy has a load of construction debris that he is bringing in from Dallas County, for example, and he's figured out it's too expensive to dispose of it correctly in Dallas County. So he decides to take it out to Hunt County, and he winds up dumping it in a ditch or a creek system somewhere. Well, the illegal dumping law, this Health and Safety 365, is going to charge the driver and his company with the state jail felonies, but also because the guy dumped into the water or close to the water, that's a separate five-year felony for that, and the criminal fines can be as high as $100,000 for an individual or $250,000 for a company. And these sound very high, but usually when major dumpers are dumping, they're doing it for money. And the best things local government can do is take some of that money away if you really want them to stop it.
You mean they're doing it to save money?
Yeah, they're doing it for some kind of financial reason.
Sure, okay.
Somebody's figured out, okay, if we're tearing down this building, if we dispose of it correctly, it's going to cost $150,000 in landfill cost. Let's just take it over to Hunt County and dump it, and we probably won't get caught. Well, unknown to them, Hunt County has an excellent environmental enforcement team, and they probably will get caught.
Gotcha.
And then Hunt County figures out how they want to deal with that, either criminally or civilly, or in a way that penalizes the guy appropriately.
We're speaking with John Ockles. He is the director of the Texas Legal Dumping Resource Center based in Sherman. You said your company has been in existence for 5 years. You're a nonprofit. You had told me before we started this interview the services you provide to communities through the state of Texas. Why don't you elaborate on that?
Sure. Our primary purpose is to deal with the fact that most officers and most elected officials simply have never been exposed to these laws. They just don't know them. When police go to the police academies, they don't get trained in these particular laws. They're a little bit obscure. When attorneys go to law school and wind up being prosecutors, they don't get trained either. And when city managers go and get a master's in public administration from North Texas or someplace like that, they don't get trained either. So what we have is typically a group of people that need to do some training, need to learn some things. So what we do is go out and provide that training. And as I mentioned, we do about 40, 45 classes a year all over the state of Texas, and that's everywhere from Corpus and the Valley to places like Eagle Pass, all over East Texas, in North Central Texas, and in the Commerce quite frequently, too.
What inspired you to start up this company?
Well, it was kind of interesting. I was working in the Council of Governments. I thought I had retired, and my wife helped me understood I hadn't. this is about 20 years ago. And I went to work at a Council of Governments up here in the Sherman area, and we had the responsibility of taking grant money provided by the state and putting it out to use in local communities to deal with things like recycling, household hazardous waste collection, and things like that. Well, one of the things you could do with the money, you could fund environmental enforcement officers. And we began to do that, and then the question got to be, what is this guy really supposed to be doing? And why is he the only person who knows about this? Why don't the other police officers know about it too? So 15, 16 years ago at the COG, we began doing training programs, and then they expanded to doing for other councils of government. I'd take vacation time and go to another COG and do training there. And little by little, I got to the point it was pretty well all-consuming, my interest at least. And then 5 years ago, I left the COG and began this process. And I got to tell you, it's not a job that you think of when you're going to high school or college. Gee, I think I'll go around and teach people about it. Illegal dumping enforcement. But I have to say, it's probably the most interesting work I've ever done. The laws are pretty simple, but some cities and counties will vigorously enforce those laws. Other cities and counties won't.
Okay.
Until the citizens get in the middle of it, and then all of a sudden it's a great idea for everybody. So from the policy perspective, how a local government decides to start enforcing these laws and the pitfalls, the common pitfalls there are, we try to help the guys get through all that.
What are some of the maybe most frequently asked questions you'll get from these organizations when you are training them during these seminars?
Oh, are these really the law? The good ones. So we get out the law books and look, hey, I'll be darned, they really did. Why didn't we learn this in the police academy? Well, you were learning other things in the police academy. Why didn't we cover this in law school? Well, you were covering other things in law school. Why can't a person do with his private property whatever he wants to do with his private property? Well, the problem is, well, it's never been that way anywhere in the Western world. I can do anything I want to in my property as long as I don't negatively affect yours. And if I'm dumping out back and the critters are breeding in that and the vermin are flying over and biting your kids, or if I'm dumped into a waterway and the creek's running over and your stock is drinking and getting sick, I obviously am affecting what you're doing. So it's very basic questions like that. Sometimes we'll have a situation where a guy will be caught for illegal dumping, and the officers are very good. They'll do a criminal background check on each one of those individuals, and they'll find he's on probation for some other crime. Mm. And they simply revoke his probation based on the negative impact he's having on the community through illegal dumping and send him on his way.
Tell me, you said it's hard to measure kind of how maybe bad the problem is here in Texas, but in your 5 years of actually conducting these training seminars, can you measure the success that maybe these local agencies have been able to have since, you know, learning more about the law and being able to enforce it more?
Well, I tell you one thing, the officers are becoming a lot more sophisticated in their operations, and we're going to more and more small places, and the conversations that we're having with the officers showing they're becoming more and more sophisticated. Keep Texas Beautiful, the statewide organization, has done an enormous amount of education to help their members get the word out. So Keep Commerce Beautiful, Keep Greenville Beautiful. Their folks are pretty clear this illegal dumping business is problematic. So they put pressure in a nice way, of course, with a plate of cookies, if you're lucky, on local officials to take this stuff seriously. So what I see is a fairly rapid spread of knowledge at the local level, where I think the Internet's driving that to some degree, Scott, where the citizens are learning what's happening in other parts of Texas, and then they're going down to their elect officials and wondering why they can't do that in their little town or their little county also.
Okay. Now, these offenders, say they're just in an economic bind. What's the best way that they can avoid breaking the law and dispose of their material properly?
Well, if you're in a city, your city provides waste hauling services. That's just it. And when you say someone in economic bind, I guess you're talking about an individual consumer that is generating household waste. If you're inside a city, the city will provide those services, and you have to use those services.
Sure.
If you're out in a county, in most parts of Texas, in all but three or four counties in Texas, you can actually burn your household waste as long as you follow the burn ban regs and the state regulations for burning that. Now, that means household garbage. It doesn't mean burning your furniture, a couch, or a car, or a house, or something like that. Any kind of commercial fires would be a criminal offense if you don't have a permit. But frequently in Texas, people will burn their household trash out in the rural areas as long as they do so safely and with a due mind of what the local rules are for the burn ban.
Okay.
If you're a small business and you're generating waste and you decide the only way you can stay in business is by dumping on the rest of us, maybe you really shouldn't be in business.
Gotcha.
So your competitors would say you really shouldn't be in business if they're doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Your website is TIDRC.com.
If we'd done it differently, I wouldn't have used so many words in the name of this thing, probably. But you type that out 10,000 times, you wonder, we could have called this something shorter. But TIDRC.com is the website, and there's a lot of material out there. You can go out and learn what the laws are and kind of get some stories about what's going on, and there's some resources that are available for you.
John, we appreciate taking the time and informing us here in the region about the effects and what we can do to correct the problem and how it's being enforced more these days as well. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
An interview with John Ockles, recorded in June and originally aired this summer on The Lead, a chance to revisit the issue of illegal dumping as we seem to have more cases sprouting here in Northeast Texas. John Ockles is the director of the Texas Illegal Dumping Resource Center based in Sherman. Let's take a break and come back with our Friday feature after this. On your station, this is 88.9 KETR.
Business people talk to other business people to get information about the products and services they need. 30% of public radio listeners say they influence business purchases. You can talk to those decision makers with Corporate Underwriting on KETR. Call 903-513-9684 and let us help you make that connection.
Hear coverage of the Texas A&M University Commerce Lions football season right here on your station. Each week, we'll bring you the call of the game with commentator J.P. Heath, plus stats, analysis, and much more. Saturday's the first district game for the Lions as they travel to take on Texas A&M Kingsville. Our coverage starts at 6:30, 7 p.m. kickoff Saturday on KETR.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's now time for our Friday feature. Well, it seems we've had a bit of a break locally from the swarm of insects, but I'm uncertain about what lies ahead for us this fall. So we thought we'd take you down memory lane, or nightmare lane, however you want to look at it, about the volume of crickets in Northeast Texas. Ah, yes, the sweet sound of crickets. And no, I don't mean these crickets.
That'll be the day when I die well.
Although I wish I did. No, unfortunately, these are the ones that keep you up at night, the ones that really smell when they're dead, and the ones that drive you crazy as you search every nook and cranny in your home trying to determine where exactly that sound is coming from. Yes, I'm talking about the crickets of Northeast Texas. Doy Stees is a lab assistant in the Biological and Environmental Sciences Department at Texas A&M University Commerce. So tell us, Mr. Dees, how does this all work?
They go in cycles. A large population will lay a large number of eggs, and the weather will be just right, and you'll get a large population that will survive.
A major problem, according to Dees, is leaving the light on.
If you have a lot of crickets in the area, then you're going to have a lot of them gather where there are lights.
So we just turn off the lights, right? Well, that's what B.C. Dunman says. He's with Aladdin Extermination in Bonham.
The best way to get, I don't know where you're having them bad, but turn off all the lights you can turn off. That draws them.
Or we could just kill them, right? Well, pesticides aren't the best idea, says Sulphur Springs resident Jennifer Tolson.
Well, organic, because so many people are allergic to pesticides, so I wouldn't suggest chemicals.
And the crickets don't really live long anyway. Besides, when they die, they really smell.
Ooh, that smell. Can't you smell that smell?
I used to live about 1.6 miles out of town, and after about a week of a population like that, you could actually smell Commerce 1.6 miles out of town because of all the dead carcasses.
I see. So when do these adorable little critters like to make landfall in the Northeast Texas region each year? Well, most say toward the end of the summer through the first freeze, with a smaller group in the spring. What's your favorite cricket horror story?
Oh, there's one time in that flying L. There were some college girls, and it was like four or five cars worth that couldn't get out of their car because of the crickets. And when they tried, there was bloody screens because they're simply covered in them.
For Jennifer, they're a nuisance on her way to work.
Well, just the crunching, having to walk over them as you go to the library.
Several years ago, you could turn off the highway and you'd slide sideways. I mean, you know, you had to be real careful because it's like ice.
Yes, the cricket problem of Northeast Texas is one that dates back several years, as Doyce Deese recalls.
When we had the old science building, though, it was creepy like something out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie. And all the walls of the outside of the building around that parking lot were covered. I mean, literally covered. We're talking about a few thousand pounds worth of crickets and grasshoppers that year.
So what do you do?
And you didn't want to disturb anything, because once you started some going, then they'd set off all the rest. And it was like birds, except this was crickets. It was a horror movie.
I guess it could be worse. They could be a presence all year round. What do you think, Jennifer?
Just part of nature's process. I mean, we have to live with it. We need more birds, but then the birds would be a nuisance. So
so it's kind of a pick your poison, right?
Exactly.
When you make me cry, you say you're gonna leave.
So the moral of the story, there are a lot of crickets in Northeast Texas for sure. Perhaps turning off a light here and shutting a door there may prevent too many from being where you normally congregate. Most of all, just remember, they won't be here forever. And for all you cricket lovers out there, enjoy it while it lasts. For KETR News, I'm Scott Harvey. Our Friday feature airs each Friday during the lead at 10 a.m. and again at 4:45 p.m. during All Things Considered here on your station. And remember, if you have a Friday feature story idea for the program, please let us know. Send your ideas to scott@ketr.org. That's scott@ketr.org. Let's take a break. We'll be back to wrap things up after this on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Mom, can I have a dollar?
My purse is upstairs on my bed.
It's not here.
What about your sister's room?
Nope.
The upstairs closet?
No.
The downstairs closet.
Mom, there are no more closets.
I'm sorry, honey. It was right here all along.
Moms everywhere are finding ways to keep their kids active and healthy. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hello, my name is David Herbaz, and I would like to invite you on an exciting musical journey through Latin-inspired melodies. Every Tuesday night at 9 on Latin Soul, only on your station, 889 KETR.
And welcome back to The Lead. Let's now run down the community events calendar for Northeast Texas. A lot of events taking place on Saturday in Northeast Texas this weekend, including a very unique event. I believe this is the second year they've been doing it. It's called the Sulphur Springs Worldwide Photo Walk, and you're asked to meet over at 8:30 in the morning at Plain and Fancy Shop in downtown Sulphur Springs. You'll be joined by Luis Noble, photo editor of the Sulphur Springs News Telegram, and Cindy Roller, editor of the Cooper Review and our Cooper correspondent. They'll take you on a two-hour photo walk, and it's a chance to let your photographic aspirations fly, letting you show the world historic downtown Sulphur Springs through your artistic eye. Again, that's the Sulphur Springs Worldwide Photo Walk taking place Saturday. There's a 2011 Walk to End Alzheimer's, and that's an event over at the Trail de Paris in Paris. There's also the Davy Crockett Festival in downtown Honey Grove. That's over at the Civic Center. Now, we can't forget about the Santa Fe Depot celebrating 100 years. The Santa Fe Depot currently plays home to the Wolf City Public Library. It has been doing so since 1985, and activities over for their celebration begin at 10:30 Saturday morning in Wolf City. And looking ahead to next week, beginning on Wednesday, October 5th, and running through Saturday, the Fannin County Fair comes to town, and that's over at the Fannin County Fairgrounds there. So more fairs and more festivals taking place in Northeast Texas. A reminder that each one of these events and others can be found at our website, ketr.org/events. And we strongly encourage you to post your own event, and we'll read it on the air. Again, that's ketr.org/events. That's going to do it for today's installment of The Lead. We hope you were able to take away some useful information as it pertains to illegal dumping laws in Texas, about just how widespread illegal dumping has become here in our state, and how to understand the law. And we hope you'll be much more aware of the cricket population here in our region. Hopefully it doesn't become too much of a nuisance for you. We'll be back same time next Friday at 10 a.m., and our show re-airs at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. And remember, you can hear archives of this show at our website, ketr.org. Coming up next is Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great weekend.